Welcome to Studio 86, in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Welcome inside Studio 86. I'm Mike Saffron of RIT University News. And in Studio 86 today is Nicholas DeFonso, RIT professor of psychology. He's a rumor expert, and he's author of The Water Cooler Effect, most recently, and Rumor Psychology as well. Welcome to the studio.
Glad to be here.
And joining in the questioning today is Susan Gallowitz of RIT University News. Welcome, Susan.
Nice to be here.
We're talking, as I said, about rumors today. How did you become interested in rumors as an area of research?
I've been interested in this question about how rumors become more accurate over time and how they become less accurate over time. I've noticed that some rumors are very accurate after a while, and groups seem to be able to ferret out the facts quite well, whereas in other situations, groups are terrible at the task of figuring out the truth. So, frankly, that's been a central question that has motivated my study of rumors.
Now, I think everyone probably thinks they know what a rumor is, but what is a rumor?
A rumor is an unverified bit of information that's in circulation. If it is considered to be unverified, or if indeed it is false, and therefore it could be unverified.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, so I received a flyer, beware, do not blink your headlights at oncoming cars that happen to have their headlights off. This is, of course, at night. So if you're a nice person and you're trying to help the other motorist, you're trying to remind them to blink, you know, turn their headlights on, you blink at them. Well, this flyer looked very official, and it said, don't do that because there's a new gang initiation right out there, and blinkers were followed by the cars that they blinked at and killed. Mm-hmm. And so I got that flyer, and by that time I had become a little bit more skeptical about these things because I was studying rumors. And I called the Illinois State Police Department, and this very tired Illinois State Police trooper said, is this the headlights hoax? It's false. And he sounded so tired. He'd been answering questions about this for the past 2 weeks. So that would be an example of a rumor mm-hmm. that was in circulation that turned out to be false.
Well, now that we know what a rumor is, can you tell us about gossip and also about urban legend?
Sometimes these three forms of informal hearsay are a little bit difficult to disentangle, but it's good to consider the pure forms. As I said, rumor is unverified statements that are in circulation. Gossip is evaluative social chat, usually about someone who's not present, usually about something titillating or personal or private. So the example would be, hey, did you hear about Mike the other night at the Christmas party? Wasn't his behavior just either despicable or fantastic? Urban legend is probably a little bit more similar to rumor because urban legend can kind of land or touch down as a rumor, or rumors can become, after a time, urban legends. Urban legends are narratives, stories that are told in any kind of storytelling session and are typically used to convey social mores or tell morality tales. So an example of an urban legend would be this fellow is on a business trip. He goes to a bar. He starts to flirt with this attractive young woman. One thing leads to another. After a while, they go back to his hotel room. The next morning, he wakes up, and there scrawled on the mirror in lipstick are the words, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." So this is called the AIDS Mary urban legend, and there's also an AIDS Harry version as well. And the moral of the story is don't be promiscuous, because something bad happens to you if you are promiscuous. So that would be an example of a urban legend, whereas a rumor would be a little bit more specific.
Well, now your book will come out in September.
Yes, September 11th.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how rumor affects the candidates and maybe how people view them?
In this particular presidential campaign, there are many rumors surrounding each of the candidates. I wrote this book predominantly throughout 2007, so this was before and during the primary season, and I'm so thankful to the candidates that were chosen because I happened to write quite a bit about each of the ones that were viable at the time. McCain, Obama especially, and Hillary Clinton. I devoted some space to each of the sets of rumors associated with each of these candidates. Unfortunately for me, these are the candidates that have lasted the longest. The question is, how do these rumors affect voting behavior? The best evidence we have is that it's kind of two sides of the story. One research study I'm familiar with talks about the effect of the Obama rumors on likelihood to vote for Obama, and they haven't completely figured out the effect yet. It appears that there isn't much of an effect. If you're going to vote for Obama, you're not going to believe these negative rumors about him.
Susan and I were just talking the other day, in fact, about how the media came to you about the New Yorker cover.
Yes.
How does that cover play into these rumors? It was a satire, I guess, or parody. I'm not sure what the word would be, but do most New Yorker readers recognize that, or does it cause these rumors to grow further?
The New Yorker came out with this cover in which Senator Obama was pictured in Islamic dress, and Michelle Obama was in a loud afro with an AK-47 slung over his shoulder, and they were butting their fists together, and there was a picture of the Osama bin Laden over the fireplace within which the U.S. flag was burning. And so the New Yorker thought that this was a satire, parody of who they considered to be bigoted people who are spreading these negative rumors about Obama, which are, of course, false, that Obama is a Muslim. That's a false rumor. That he refused to swear allegiance to the flag, that he was sworn in with his hand over the Quran. All those are false rumors, and there is a number of others as well. So the New Yorker, to the sophisticated readers, thought that this was kind of funny. They were making fun of people who are spreading these negative, ridiculous rumors. I think to the New Yorker reader, they would have gotten it, but there's a certain percentage of other people who the irony is lost upon them.
Can political candidates ever use attacks like that to their advantage? Can they take a rumor and make it positive?
I have to say that each of the campaigns, McCain campaign and the Obama campaign, they've been pretty good about rumors about the other side, I think. I mean, McCain has come out and said that people should not be spreading these false rumors about Obama. And I believe Senator Obama has been saying the same kind of thing about false rumors spread about the McCain campaign and McCain's wife and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think the candidates, at least, have been pretty good about trying to stomp out these false and negative rumors. Now, if I'm the candidate and a negative rumor is being spread about me, can I turn that to my advantage? Mm-hmm. That's a great question. If it helps you to get your message out in a positive way, I think that you can. In general, though, it's considered to be a negative. It's mm-hmm. something that you have to worry about and plan how to attack, how to prevent, and how to minimize, mm-hmm. because there will always be some small percentage of people that will believe the rumor regardless of how much effort you put into refuting it. Mm-hmm. But to be more positive, to the extent that you can use your response to that rumor to get your story out in a believable way, then yes, I suppose that you can take use a rumor to your advantage. I think Senator Obama has done a little bit of that, in that he's taken a very aggressive stance in trying to stamp out these rumors. I think he could do a little better in getting his story out more clearly. Mm-hmm. In the minds of some people, there's still a little bit of question about his middle name, Hussein. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, well, Hussein, that's an Arab name. That's a Muslim name. He must have been Muslim. His family must have been Muslim. Maybe he still has feelings for mm-hmm. Islam, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So he could do a little bit better job, for example, explaining that whole story, because it still lingers, it's still a little unclear mm-hmm. in the minds of some people.
Well, now his campaign has actually started a webpage to address rumors.
A couple of webpages.
A couple of pages. In previous discussions, you said that that's so-so. It's a good effort, but it's not, doesn't really address what it needs to address.
Well, I'll give it a B+. Let's talk about the good things he's doing. He's getting out there and aggressively fighting the rumors, aggressively issuing refutations. He's trying to go to groups that are apparently within which this rumor is spreading. He's trying to give a point-by-point explanation. He states, I'm a committed Christian. He swore on the Bible. He has pictures of him pledging allegiance to the flag. He's issuing these point-by-point refutations. Mm-hmm. Okay, how could he improve? How could he get that A? I've looked through the websites. I saw one letter, a joint letter from several different religious leaders. But that letter was kind of buried deep within the website. If I were his campaign, I would get very conservative religious leaders, and I would get them to write a letter, individual letter, and I would tout that at the very top of his webpage. That's what we call a trusted third-party source. Who are the people that are spreading this rumor? According to the Pew Research Center, conservative Democrats, conservative Republicans. That's, by the way, that's the interesting thing about this rumor is that 12% of each, 12% of Democrats and 12% of Republicans are spreading this rumor. So it appears to fall equally likely across party lines. So if I were his campaign, I would find respected, trusted third-party sources who will flatly deny the rumor, refute the rumor for him, and I would tout that. Rather than on his website, you read it, and it's rebuttal after rebuttal after rebuttal, and he gets very heavy into calling the other side sleazy rumor mongers.
You dedicate a portion of your book to rumor management.
Yes. There are several principles that we can use to prevent and manage such rumors. First of all, everything that one does in regard to rumor management should be based on the truth. And that's because facts are stubborn things, and people are very good if they're motivated to find the facts and they work together under certain conditions, they're very good at figuring out the facts and the truth will be uncovered. So it has to be based upon the truth. Honesty is the best policy. Second, it's helpful if one can establish trust. Trust seems to have many different positive ramifications to it. If you distrust another person or another group, you're much more likely to spread negative rumors about it or believe negative rumors about it or not believe things that they say. A third idea is to nip it in the bud. Try to establish a norm of transparency in your organization or your group. When rumors do arise, it's best to refute them. In general, the research shows that a no-comment policy is counterproductive. People will wonder, why isn't the person countering? If it were false, they would have refuted the rumor. But since they're saying nothing, since they're saying no comment, that raises the level of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And people,
it's a little suspicious.
That's correct. People wonder why. They must be trying to cover something up. And that raises another point in rumor refutation and rumor prevention as well, and that is to try and reduce or dispel or limit uncertainty. So that speaks to good communication in any organization.
Can you tell us a little bit about your website, ProfessorNick.com?
Sure. It's ProfessorNick.com, or you could go to RumorExpert.com, or you could also tie into it using thewatercoolereffect.com. And my website is actually pretty fun, I think, and several people have told me it's pretty fun. It has several pages on it devoted to explaining the books. There's also a reading guide. There are chapter excerpts. It also gives some of the other services that I provide, talks, and it also has some resources related to rumor if you want to learn more about rumor. And there's also an opportunity to take a rumor survey. If you've heard a rumor, you can tie into the survey and participate in an actual study that we're performing.
People can ask you questions about rumors.
Oh, yes. My blog is on there as well. I Ask Professor Nick, and I really wanted to provide the opportunity to answer people's questions about how to address rumors or about any question people have about rumor.
It's interesting, you know, we're talking about your website and Senator Obama's website. Here's the web, the internet, and it's really both good and bad when it comes to rumors. It can propagate them further or it can dispel them.
Yes, that's right. The internet today means we're much more connected, so that a rumor can spread more quickly than ever before and more widely than ever before. But by the same token, because it spreads quickly and widely, we also have the opportunity to have it rebutted quickly and widely. And people can also investigate its veracity more quickly and probably more authoritatively. You just have to go to Snopes.com and check out many of these rumors. The interesting questions are, why is it that rumors spread so quickly on the internet, especially some of these false, totally false and ridiculous ones? And the answer is that there are some conditions in which the internet helps to dispel false rumors and some conditions in which the internet helps to reify or sustain false rumors. A lot of it has to do with who connects to who on the World Wide Web. People tend to connect with other like-minded sites. So it's kind of like an echo chamber.
Well, thanks for coming into Studio 86.
My pleasure.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is recorded live in Building 86 on the RIT campus and is produced by RIT University News Services.